Welcome back to The Lead, a podcast about content marketing by Copyblogger Media. I'm your host, Jared Morris. If you want to get a content marketing education while you're packing your bags to fly to Denver for Authority Intensive, or while you're flying 30,000 feet in the air to Denver for Authority Intensive, this podcast is the way to do it. On this week's episode, Damien and I resume our series on the 11 essential ingredients of a blog post. And to do so, we start off by quoting one of the greatest screenplays ever written. All right, Damien. One of my favorite movies of all time is Adaptation. Now, I know you're not a big movie or pop culture guy, but have you ever seen it?
Is that a Nicolas Cage movie?
Yes, it is.
That's a Charlie Kaufman movie.
Yes, it is.
I've seen it.
Okay, you have seen it. So
yes.
Okay, so the movie follows the screenplay writer Charlie Kaufman, who of course also happens to be the actual screenplay writer because it's a very meta movie like that. And so he's struggling to adapt this book, and he gets so desperate for ideas that he goes to a screenwriters conference hosted by the great Robert McKee, played brilliantly in the film by Brian Cox. And here's the catalytic piece of advice that McKee gives to Kaufman. Quote, "I'll tell you a secret. The last act makes a film. Wow them in the end, and you've got a hit. You can have flaws, problems, but wow them in the end, and you've got a hit. Find an ending, but don't cheat. And don't you dare bring in a deus ex machina. Your characters must change, and the change must come from them. Do that, and you'll be fine." Now, McKee is speaking specifically about a movie here, but it's really not that much different for a blog post. Wow them in the end, close in style. It's the key to driving comments, to getting a post shared, convincing people to sign up, or simply just leaving a lasting impression on a reader. Why is my question to you, Damien? Why is the closing so, so, so important?
That was a great movie. Yeah, just so side note, I've seen all Charlie Kaufman's movies.
He's my favorite writer by
yes.
far.
So the Philip Seymour one was I think among my favorite.
Yeah.
So but anyway, yeah, so just like with the movies though, this is equally true for whatever you write, books, articles. This comes to an idea too that we talk about psychology a lot, like in writing and copywriting. So it's just only natural to speak about it again, but there's two effects that get thrown around a lot and you've probably heard of them. One is called the primacy effect, and it's basically just this idea that people tend to remember beginnings better than the middle. They remember, you know, lists, the beginning of lists rather than the middle of, you know, list of numbers rather than the middle list of numbers. And the other one, too, is the recency effect, meaning that people tend to remember endings more than the middle. And professors can probably speak to this a lot, too, professors in college courses who will tell you that they save the best for the last because they know that beginning they have the student's attention, but throughout the middle they lose their attention simply because of distractions like their laptop or just exhaustion. But they know that as the students are paying attention to the clock and seeing that their 45 minutes is about to end, the professor now has their attention, so he lays something well on them. And this is so this idea that, you know, you want to end well, right? Movie companies know this too. Like you just like Robert McKee said, and movie companies know this. And when they actually like have these, they have this private screening to test the movies, they don't care about the beginning or the middle of the movie. All they care about is the ending. If people don't like the ending, they'll go reshoot that. Nothing more. And this speaks well too. Like Saka Mulla-Ortiz said this in an article back in 2003 called "Now That's an Ending." She says, "When a film resolves itself well, audiences leave satisfied and content, even if the preceding 90 minutes have been uninspiring. If, however, the climax is forced or implausible, the preceding scenes will be stripped of any poignancy. In other words, a terrific ending can make an excellent film a masterpiece. A dud ending can ruin an otherwise intriguing offering." This is the same advice applies to blog post endings as well.
Yeah, and of course, you know, this is the 10th episode in our 11-part series, and so certainly we hope that the rest of your blog post is going to be good if you've included these other essential elements, and the ending can really put that capper on it and make it outstanding. And, you know, we're going to go through, Brian Clark wrote a great post that, you know, where he listed out these five great ways to end a post. And, you know, another great post on Copyblogger that we had on the subject was written by Henneke called A Rabble Rouser's Rules for Writing Kick-Ass Closing Paragraphs, which, of course, we'll link to in the show notes. But, you know, to me, when I look at a closing, again, it's a place where you have to focus. I think so often we can get into writing and, you know, you write a long blog post, maybe you're tired at the end and you just kind of slap something on there and you're really missing an opportunity. And I think to me, one of the greatest tips that I've ever heard about a closing is what Henneke wrote in that post, which is shrink the change, right? Which it's kind of this idea of one small step can change your life, right? So instead of, you know, I'll see a lot of blog posts where it's some kind of big grand ending, like, now go out there and change the world, or, you know, just kind of something big and vague and nebulous. But it's much better, as she says, to shrink the change. You know, give people a small specific step that they can take from the post, right? You know, do you want to rid, is the goal of your post to inspire people to rid the world of hunger? You know, start buying an extra canned good every time you go shopping and take it to your nearest food drive, right? Give people something specific so they walk away and say, hey, I can do something. I feel empowered. You know, you've inspired me to do this one thing, and now maybe this will lead to steps B and C and D. But, you know, think about that. Think about what you want people to take away from it. And this, you know, can kind of lead us into Brian's post, because he starts it out talking about how you need to begin with the ending in mind. You know, and so if you want someone to take a specific action offline, have that in mind. If it's a call to action on your website, have that in mind and make sure that your closing fits into that.
Right. So, and I think, you know, well, what you said, you know, sort of what, as you notice, like what we pay attention to when we're developing blog posts, the 11 essential ingredients, you know, we've put a lot of effort into like the openings and we put some effort into the middle, but not nearly as much as the beginning and the ending, because people, you know, when it comes to, you know, people walking away something, you want them to remember it. You want them to have something, you know, and like, I think you said it well, he says it's a missed opportunity if you forget about the ending. So talking about Brian's ways to close a blog post, right? So he talks about summary, and this is just simply, you know, going back, telling people what they just read, but doing it in a succinct manner. You'll see this a lot. It's sort of been, this summary has been updated with the internet, with the TLDR, you know, TL semicolon DR, too long, didn't read. And we've sort of made an improvement, innovation on this by putting this a lot of time at the beginning of the articles, you know, to sort of warn people, this is a long article, here's the summary. But the idea is you can, if you can do it at the end. The summary is just telling them what happened so that they know it. People, here's the deal, right? When people read, and we know this again from just from eye tracking studies, that people will read the headline and then people will scan it and then read the ending, because they're looking and hoping for that summary. They want to know, so what's the point? What, just tell me, you know, what's the conclusion? What is, I'm sure you do this, Jared. I do this. We all do this. And this is equally true. This is something to be speaking of too, like moving into this next one, you know, the call to action. And we'll also speak about this too when we talk about the PS, the postscript, is that people, like direct marketers, print direct marketers knew this, you know, way back before the internet, is that people did two things. They looked at the headline first, and then they looked at who wrote the letter, who wrote the sales letter. And that's why we had the encouragement. We always encourage people. That's why the PS is so important, because the PS is right underneath the signature, right underneath the name. So you have that PS there. But the call to action, right? So you end a post with the call to action. This is simply, like you said, sort of shrinking the, in this sense, you could shrink the change, but telling people what to do. You've spent just an enormous amount of energy getting them, you know, painting sort of a promise and then a lifestyle that they might like, right? Creating some sort of picture, giving them the arguments and the proof to make that believable, what you've just said, and then you've got their attention. So now you tell them what to do. You tell them to donate, to go and vote, go and, you know, walk into a store and buy something, go and, you know, maybe it's some sort of like inspiring thing, which moves into our next point, you know, this inspiration. Like in John Morrow, he does this really well. He creates these posts, right, that sort of get into the heart of readers with identifies with their pain, relates to their anxieties, and then he sort of says, here's what you need to do next. And again, it's like Henneke said, is the shrink that changes like this. So John Morrow inspires people to do something because he relates to their pain. And then the PS is something like, I knew the PS back in the direct marketing, print sales world, where this was that thing where you said, oh, by the way, don't forget to do X, Y, and Z. And in that is what you were bringing to attention, something that happened in the middle. And the reason that's important is because they probably didn't read the middle, but you're saying, here's something you don't want to miss, right? So that's the PS. And then the cliffhanger is, of course, what we've talked about in the past, just when we, in the podcast for Eternal Cliffhangers. The cliffhanger is that thing where you're keeping something away from the reader. You initiate an action, right? You drive the car off the cliff, but then you end the episode right there. And in order to relieve that tension, they have to see the next episode. And finally, I added to Brian's list, end with a question, and this could equally sort of kind of go with any one of those five, but I wanted to sort of isolate this one because a lot of times, we look at, and I'll even mention this when I talk about my last tip, but we look to trying to tie a really clean knot with a closing. That's not always the case you need to do. You may, write some sort of compelling, the post you wrote, Jared, recently on net neutrality. You ended it with very firm, action. Here's what you need to do. But let's say you went more contemplative towards, sort of more meditative to it, and sort of like, here are the issues at hand. And then you sort of challenged a notion by saying, is this really as important as we think it is, or something like that, where you're sending people away chewing on an idea. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So ending with that question,
I think it all goes back to, what do you want people to do, right? Do you want people to walk away contemplating, or do you want them walking away acting? With Sonia's post today that she wrote on net neutrality, I thought she has a great ending where, she actually uses kind of some visual design elements in the closing, which you can do too, that box, mm-hmm. to kind of separate it out, that says what you can do today to help. And I think it's great because she imparts a little bit of that, the emotion in it, where she says the erosion of net neutrality could materially harm your ability to market your business as well as your interests as a citizen. I mean, that's, you're playing on a little bit of fear there. You're kind of stirring some emotion, and then boom, right after that, make a few minutes before lunch today, shrinking the change, to right. email the FCC chair, Tom Wheeler, and get an email, phone call, or fax off to your senator and congressman with a link there for how to email and a link there for how to figure out who the congressman is. So it's a great way to end, because you've got the emotional part of it. You shrink the change down. And clearly that was her goal from the beginning, and the entire post was leading to that. And that's what you want that conclusion, that closing, to do.
Absolutely, that's right. So you got a tip, man? What's your one tip?
My one tip is to nail the last line. And really, I'm stealing that from Henneke, but I love it. And I think to nail the last line, you've got to read the last line out. When I'm doing my final edit, I'm especially the beginning and the end, I'm reading that not just to myself, but also out loud, to see how it sounds, to see how it flows. The last thing you want is, for it to, I don't know, to end with a thud. You want that mm-hmm. flow, whatever flow mm-hmm. or kind of, that you've developed through the post, it's got to end on a crescendo. You want to end on that high note. So really nail the last line, put some thought into it and put some effort into it, reading it just how it sounds in addition to what it says.
Right. That's a lot of work too. And I think, as we just sort of stressed throughout this podcast, is that, you can't just let your ending go limp. That's the worst thing in the world. And so I kind of close with my, the one tip that I would share. And it's like, when you're closing an article, I always feel like a good article, like the ending of a good article, feels like the click of a box shutting, so that there's closure to it. Something, and what I mean by that is that they've referred back to something they mentioned in the beginning. So you've kind of come full circle. There is closure, and it's a satisfying feeling because it makes you feel like the writer's actually kind of paying attention. Like they mentioned something in the beginning and they've come back to it. So what they said in the beginning, and this is, and so like you see this superficially done, like when people just use some sort of beginning and they just use it just to get attention and they never come back to it. And it's sort of left lying there. That's poor writing. Good writing has a great opening, but pulls it in and close it. Like, he doesn't, like, the reader doesn't feel like the writer fell asleep at the wheel with that particular article. One of my favorite endings comes from a blog post I wrote called The Dirty Little Secret to Seducing Your Readers. And I open with the story of Ingrid, who is a married woman who wants to get pregnant and all this sort of tension. And so she has to tease her husband into getting, pregnant. And so, but then I go into the technical details about, and so this is really an article about fascination, about, you know, tease, how you tease your readers, how you seduce your readers, right? And so, but then I go into this technical portion of the article and I close it. And, but when I close it, I bring it back to Ingrid, and just sort of like Henneke said, it was the very last sentence. And all I said was, just ask Ingrid. And so it brings the whole story full circle. People feel this sort of satisfying click to the box. They feel like, you know, I'm paying attention. I've delivered on what I've said, and I'm just not out to sort of, you know, kind of suck them in and leave them hanging. So, but it's that idea of trying to tie in something you said in the opening with in the ending works really, really well. Makes the article feel complete.
I agree. So let me ask you real quick as we close here. Do you relate at all to the struggles of Charlie Kaufman in adaptation?
yeah, absolutely. Probably not to the extreme, but you know.
Yeah, I think we all do. So here's what I will say in closing is, if you've never seen adaptation, go see it, because if you want to see a movie that just will absolutely blow your mind with its closing, that movie will do it. And also check out the show notes for the link to Brian's article, because the way that he closes that article, it'll be both instructive and it'll leave you laughing as well.
All right, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Lee, Damien, we get to see each other. Next week we'll be in Denver for Authority Intensive. That's exciting.
Looking forward to it, Jared.
Looking forward to it as well. All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to The Lead. If you're enjoying these episodes, please consider giving the show a rating or a review on iTunes. We would very much appreciate it. Next week, Damien and I will close out our series on the 11 essential ingredients of a blog post, followed sometime soon thereafter by our Hangout Hot Seat with Sonia Simone. Talk to you soon, everybody.
So I wish I was a slave to an age-old trade. Lord, have mercy on my road.